So it's exciting tonight. We get a look at Rehoboam. So go to 2 Chronicles 12. So again, what we're doing is setting the stage for Isaiah when Isaiah the prophet enters the scene. And so we went back and started with Solomon because I think we understand David pretty well. So we had Saul, we had David, Solomon, all in one. Israel was all one nation. But then we come to Rehoboam. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 12 is where we'll begin. Because this is the verse, I think, that describes Rehoboam. So we get to these guys, we don't know as much about them. But this describes Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14 says, "And he did evil." 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. "And he did evil," speaking about Rehoboam, "because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." So that describes Rehoboam's life. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, what does it mean to prepare his heart to seek the Lord? Okay, we can prepare to listen. You know, if you're going into a sermon or a classroom, you get prepared, you prepare yourself to listen to. You do certain things so that you are ready. You can establish certain things in your life so that you're there to seek the Lord. And he did not do that. He wasn't prepared. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. That wasn't what he spent his time doing because it wasn't important to him. But when we prepare our hearts, when we prepare ourselves for something, it's because it's important to us. We can prepare ourselves, you know, for a natural disaster because it's important to us that if that happens, we're safe and our family's safe and we have provision. So we're prepared for that because it's important. But maybe we're not prepared for, you know, an alien invasion because that's not important to us or something like that. But here, Rehoboam did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So what about us? We can look at this. We can easily say God is important, but if we don't prepare ourselves to learn about Him, we don't prepare ourselves to have time in prayer, we don't prepare ourselves to seek Him, then is He really that important to us? Because Rehoboam knew who God was. His dad was Solomon. His grandfather was David. He knew God, knew who He was, but he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us tonight. Help us as we study Rehoboam. Help us to draw out truths and learn and mold our lives the way you want us to, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. He did not do that. Rehoboam did not. 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. We don't have to turn there. I'll just say it. Samuel, before Israel had split, Samuel the prophet spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." So they were to turn from these other gods and prepare their hearts to the Lord and serve Him only. Ezra, after Babylon, the captivity, and Ezra came back and he was rebuilding Jerusalem. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So Ezra did prepare his heart. Samuel said they need to prepare their heart. But Rehoboam did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And so the Lord said he did evil because he was not prepared to seek the Lord. The Bible says the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the preparation of the heart in man is from the Lord. So we can't even just muster up the strength to prepare our hearts to serve the Lord, to seek the Lord by ourselves. We have to pray for that. And God has to work in us to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. So we should pray that we can prepare our hearts to seek the Lord so that we do not evil. So it says the preparations of heart are in man, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So if we pray to God to prepare us to seek the Lord, then God will establish those thoughts in us. Commit our works unto the Lord, and God will establish those thoughts. So again, it's not all us just out of our might working to prepare ourselves to seek the Lord. We have to pray for God to do that as well. And if we pray to Him, we commit our works unto the Lord. It says, thy thoughts shall be established. So if we don't want to do not evil like Rehoboam, and not prepare, if we want to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, we pray for God to prepare us. We commit our works to the Lord, and God will establish our thoughts, and He will be in our thoughts. And we'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So those are the things that Rehoboam did not do. He was not committing his works unto the Lord. He was not praying for God to prepare his heart and seeking first the kingdom of God. And God says that he did evil. And so we're going to look at the life of Rehoboam. So we look at Rehoboam and his upbringing. He had a grandpa, David. David do good? Yes, he did most of the time. His heart, he was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says. We know that he fell, and he fell hard when he allowed himself to lust, allowed himself to look at Bathsheba, and then give in to that. And then he killed Uriah. Bathsheba became pregnant. That son died. But then from Bathsheba came Solomon. This was Rehoboam's dad. And so let's go back to 1 Kings 11. So looking at how could, because you would think that Rehoboam with David as his grandfather, and Solomon wrote some Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. I mean, he wrote in four books of the Bible. This man, Rehoboam, should have had, a great start. So what went wrong? So in 1 Kings 11, verse 1, but King Solomon, Rehoboam's dad, loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. So David, his sin was with women. Here Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. So he had the daughter of Pharaoh as a wife, but women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for they shall surely will turn away your heart after their gods. But Solomon clave unto these in love. So Solomon, his heart was turned because he loved these strange women. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass in verse 4 when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So Rehoboam saw his dad have these 700 wives, 300 concubines. He got turned to these strange gods, even though Solomon knew the truth. I mean, Solomon's the one that wrote, don't go into a harlot and she'll turn you, all these things. Solomon knew, he was wise, yet he allowed himself to do it. And Rehoboam was his son. And we in the Proverbs, you read Solomon talking about, a wise son listens to his father, and listen to me, son. And so you can think that maybe he's talking to Rehoboam. But we don't hear and we don't see in the Bible that he was, raising up his kids in the way he should go, even though that's what he wrote, did he not? Raise up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. But as we're going to see, Rehoboam was actually, it looks like, a better father than Solomon. But anyway, as Rehoboam grew up, he saw Solomon, and as Solomon got older, he was turned away after other gods. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as he did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that's before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So Solomon not only allowed his wives and married strange women, but then he built altars to them and built high places to them. And he actually turned his heart to these things. And we see especially here to the Ammonites. In verse 5 and verse 7, to Milcom and to Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. This is important because Rehoboam's mom was an Ammonite. So Rehoboam's mom was Naamah, the Ammonitess is what she was known as. So she was no doubt one of these women, if not the woman, that turned Solomon's heart and said, hey, build this high place for Molech, build this high place for Milcom. So that's where Rehoboam's coming from. He's got a mom that's pagan. He's got a mom that is worshiping these things. He's got a dad that's supposedly a follower of Yahweh, but then turned away. And so you can see how Rehoboam then could do evil in the sight of the Lord because he did not prepare his heart, because his parents didn't prepare his heart. His mom definitely didn't, right? So Rehoboam, we see his dad turned. His mom was an Ammonitess. And then we come to verse 9 of 1 Kings 11. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Twice God told him not to, but he still did not keep that. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So because of what Solomon did, God already said, I'm going to take this kingdom and give it to your servant, but I'm not going to do it in your lifetime, I'm going to do it to your son, because of David. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So we see that the stage was set before Rehoboam even got control. It was already set in God's mind. God had already said it. I'm going to rend it away because of Solomon and what Solomon did. So Solomon prepared his son for disaster already because of the way Solomon ended his life. Let's go to 11, verse 43. 1 Kings 11, verse 43. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. So Rehoboam took control. Now we see in 1 Kings 14, verse 31. 1 Kings 14, verse 31. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. So that's where we understand that his mom was not Jewish. His mother was one of these strange women that turned away Solomon. So again, Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. But we see that his parents had a lot to do with that. They didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord, so why would he? Now let's go to Rehoboam's life. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10. So, in all this, 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, they pretty much mirror each other. You get information from both places. So we're going to look at Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles 10. Because all this leads up to when Isaiah comes into the picture. 2 Chronicles 10, verse 1. Right after Solomon dies, this is what Rehoboam does. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. Now this was not a thing that every time a king was to be made, they go to Shechem. It wasn't like a place to be coronated as king. This was done just by Rehoboam. We don't know why, but Shechem was not a place that was... It was a place where bad things happened to the Israelites. This is the place where Dinah, remember Jacob, Israel, had the 12 sons and a daughter, Dinah, and she got raped there. And then they went in and took... That was Shechem where that happened. Not a good memory there. This is where Joseph went out to search for his brothers. When they moved on from that place, and he went somewhere else, and he ended up got thrown in a pit and sold down to Egypt. That was in Shechem. Shechem was in Ephraim. And Ephraim and Manasseh, they were tribes that were not at all friendly with Jerusalem. They were rebel tribes, basically. So if that was the reason he went out there, we don't know. But anyway, he went out there probably because he was afraid of what God had said. He probably knew what God had said to Solomon. But if his heart was fixed, if he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, he might not be doing these things. But as men and women, we make decisions based on what we think is right because of fear of man, whatever. And he goes out to this place called Shechem. The Bible says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So if our heart's fixed, if we trust in the Lord, we're not going to be afraid of these things. We wouldn't make decisions like go to Ephraim. But he goes there anyway, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, we'll talk about him next week, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was down in Egypt because Solomon was going to kill this man. Solomon wanted to kill Jeroboam because God told him, well, a prophet told Jeroboam that he would get those other tribes. He would be the next king of Israel. So Solomon was going to kill him. So Jeroboam went down to Egypt. But now Solomon died. Jeroboam comes back. What does that remind you of? A lot of times, Jacob, I mean, going down to Egypt and coming back up, it happens a lot. But even Jesus Christ, he went down to Egypt, a king dies, he comes back up. We see this down to Egypt a lot and then coming back up to the promised land. But that's what Jeroboam did. And he came back when Rehoboam was going to be king. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying this. We're in verse 4, chapter 10, verse 4. Thy father, speaking of Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease somewhat this grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. So Solomon evidently at the end of his life got really hard on these people, making them almost slaves, it seems like. And they said, just ease up. Ease our yoke and we'll serve thee. So Rehoboam said, come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. So he has the decision to make, Rehoboam does. Is he going to ease up this burden? Or keep it the same, or what? So he's got a decision to make. What should he do? He should seek the Lord. He doesn't seek the Lord, though he goes to men. First he goes to the old men. Verse 6, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. They said, ease up, be kind. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. So by this time, Rehoboam was 41 years old. So these young men, I don't consider really young men, but these are the men that he was brought up with. He went to them to see what they would say. And he said unto them, in verse 9, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy. He said, thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. His little finger was going to be stronger than his father's legs. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. They said, just come down. This reminds you of Pharaoh. Moses asked for a reprieve. Pharaoh just gets harder. Same thing that Rehoboam does. Make it easier? No, make it harder. And Rehoboam, verse 15, he hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his words, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So ended up, Rehoboam did not choose to be light. He decided to tell him it's going to be harder. He's going to whip him with scorpions. And so in verse 16, when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken to them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? And have we none inheritance in the son of Jesse? Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their own tents. They had no allegiance to David. They had allegiance to David when he was alive, but now this is two generations later. They said, we could care less about David. So we see the split of the kingdom right here. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So we see the split of Israel, and it says it was because of God. God had already said that he'd already told Solomon this was going to happen. It just came to pass now, and this is how it happened. Rehoboam still kept Judah. But Rehoboam, he didn't want to just keep Judah. So in verse 18, he sent Hadoram that was over the tribute, the man that was over the money, the treasurer, the IRS man, the tax collector, somebody that was over the tribute, he sent him, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones. So he sent this man out to try to tell them something or still exercise some control, and they stoned this man, Hadoram. And he died. So King Rehoboam, he made speed to get into his chariot and flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So we see the split. We see Rehoboam did not seek the Lord. He sought counsel from older men and younger men, went with the younger men. In the Bible, we see always going with the older men's advice, I think, don't we? There's wisdom that comes with age. Now, not every older man has wisdom. But if a man's wise, generally speaking, when he's older, he's going to have more wisdom than young men. These young men wanted power. They say, yeah, just be hard on these people. But he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He's just doing all sorts of things. We're going to see him go up and down and do all kinds of things now. Let's go to chapter 11. When Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered the house of Judah and Benjamin. He gathered 180,000 men, which were warriors, to fight against Israel, so he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. So he wants to take it back. So Rehoboam flees, gets a big group together, says, oh, we're going to take this back by force. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, this man of God, so this prophet, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. So God says, you're not going to fight. Go back home. I did this. And now look what he did. He obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. So now we see him doing good. He did terrible. He didn't listen to the older men. He didn't seek God. But now he listens to God, does good, goes back. And Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities. And the next verse we see he did good things. He fortified the strongholds in verse 11. He put captains in them and a store of victual and of oil and of wine. He put in all these cities, he put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong. And the priests and the Levites, they should have been maybe out here in the Israel, but Jeroboam, we're going to see next week, started doing all kinds of crazy things. He did not seek after God at all. And so the priests, they thought, well, this is the more godly place. Let's go to Judah where we can perform the office of the priest, because Jeroboam was doing all this stuff to other gods. At least in Jerusalem, under Rehoboam, they were able to at least do something. So Rehoboam's doing pretty good now. He ordained him priests. No, it says in verse 15, the reason the priests left Israel and came to Judah, came to Rehoboam, is because Jeroboam ordained priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he made. The Levites didn't want any part of that, so they came to Rehoboam. Verse 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam of Judah, the son of Solomon, for 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So now we see him doing good. He's unstable in all his ways. The Bible says in Hebrews 39, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. We need to be established in what we know, established in God, fix our heart on God, prepare our heart to seek the Lord. He didn't do that, so he's just tossed every way. He gets some advice here, he follows it, it's good. He gets some advice here, he follows it, it's bad. He's just tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Any good advice he takes, because he's not preparing his heart to seek the Lord. His grandfather wrote, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Rehoboam's heart was not fixed. So we go to verse 18. He takes a wife that bare him children. Then after that, he took another wife in verse 20. And in verse 21, Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60, 60 concubines, and begat 28 sons and 60 daughters. So he did just what his father did. And Rehoboam made Abijah, the son of Maacah, the chief, to be ruler among the brethren, for he thought to make him king. So now we see him doing, you know, just what his father did. Again, he doesn't have a basis, Rehoboam doesn't. He's not fixing his heart on the Lord. He's not preparing his heart to seek the Lord, so he does evil. Here he has multiple wives again. Then we come to verse 23. And he dealt wisely, so he does bad. Now he does good. He dealt wisely, and he dispersed of all his children throughout all the countries of Judah and Benjamin unto every fenced city, and he gave them victual in abundance. So he actually prepared his children at least. We at least get a picture of him being a father. And it says he dealt wisely in preparing them. What I figure, Solomon with Rehoboam, Solomon by the end of his life was worried all about women, all about this stuff, and his son was just growing older, his 30s, just in the palace, not given any responsibility, not doing anything, until he's 41, gets the throne, immediately doesn't know how to make decisions, just tossed to and fro. His parents did not prepare him, but at least here, Rehoboam's preparing his children. He dealt wisely with them, but he still desired many wives. Again, this man is just up and down. 2 Chronicles 12, it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he did what? He forsook the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him. So now he did what again? Bad. Because he's not fixed, he does not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And so then Egypt comes up against him and he gets scared that Egypt's going to overtake him. So in verse 5, here comes the prophet again, Shemaiah, and he came to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, this king of Egypt. And he said, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. So again, they're threatened. Then a prophet comes and he hears that advice and he repents. He's humbled. And God has forbearance on him. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. They did have to give him taxes. They gave Shishak a lot of stuff out of the treasury. And so again, we see him tossed to and fro. He's good, then he's bad. He's good, then he's bad. But he's got no fixed thing in his life. I mean, we know people, and they can go to a church and they get good for a little bit, then they fall away from that. They don't go to church. Not that church, church is something, definitely. We need to assemble together. And we need to hear the word of the Lord and seek God. And that's one of the ways of seeking God. But you see people that are up and down and up and down and up and down. So we come to the summary of Rehoboam. Verse 13. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So again, that's the last thing we hear about him, is that he did evil. When God looks at his whole life of up and down and tossed to and fro, God sees it as evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Remember David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. In Psalms, it talks about establishing our heart on the Lord. The Psalm says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. As Christians, we should have our heart fixed and established and prepared, seeking the Lord. We make choices in our life, like we prepare ourselves to get ready for a class. We get away distractions. We get our pencil. We get our whatever it takes. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Not just go through life tossed here and there, and if we get in trouble, we pray and God delivers us, then we go along. We need to prepare ourselves. Prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Seek ye first, the Bible says, the kingdom of God. That should be our first thing that we're seeking. The first thing that we are prepared for is seeking God. If we learn anything from Rehoboam, is to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts to seek and to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson from Rehoboam. And Lord, I do ask that each one of us can prepare our hearts to seek you and to serve you, and that we can make time in our day and put you as number one and to seek you first, and not if we got time, but that you are the priority, that you are the first thing that we do, the first thing that we think of, and that everything that we do it to your glory, we do it to your honor, and we do it
for you, because of you. So, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.